Podcast, Rock City.
What's up, everybody? Joe here from Podcast Rock City. I want to thank you guys for listening to the last show. It was, up to this date, my biggest show. I was totally blown away and surprised, and blown away and surprised are the same thing, and I said it again. You guys have been listening in droves, and thank you very much. I appreciate it. It makes me want to do a show even more often than every week, even though I won't, because it takes a lot of time. This week, so much is going on. The Rolling Stone magazine came out today. I saw online that it said that every surviving member, minus Vinnie Vincent, will be at the Hall of Fame. I don't know how they worked that out. And if they worked that out with just a few days to go, will they work anything else out? I don't know. Just stay tuned. We're not talking about that today. Today, we are talking about the Rolling Stone article. And I wanted to have somebody come in, like I have been for the past few weeks, and talk with me about it. And I thought, who could do this? And then only one name popped into my head, and that was Cassius Morris. How you doing?
I'm fantastic, man. How are you?
I'm super duper. I'm on vacation right now.
Great. I can tell you sound very happy about that.
Yeah. I have my kid is with me. Jace is with me. I have him today, tomorrow, and Thursday. And then Friday, me and my boys drive out to New Orleans to go to WrestleMania 30.
Awesome. I hope you guys have a good time there.
I hope so, too. The weather says it's going to rain for 3 days, and oh, who cares? I'll be at
WrestleMania. As long as it's indoors.
It's indoors. It's good. At a dome, so, you know. But it's at WrestleMania, and that's, you know, this will be my third one, I've driven to Miami, and I've driven to Atlanta, of course, because I live here, and now we're going to go to New Orleans. And you know what? The people that are listening, they don't really care. So let's talk about Rolling Stone article.
Okay.
First of all, I, like you, I went out looking for it, couldn't find it.
I know, yeah. I as I said to you off air, I looked at about three different stores, and no sign of any Rolling Stones.
It's really funny. I did see it a couple of days ago at the local Walmart, and I didn't pick it up. And the first thing I can tell you, because I've actually held a copy, is it's thinner than most Rolling Stones that to me, my first impression when I grabbed it was, man, Rolling Stone threw this together just to make an extra $5 a magazine and put Kiss on it. That's how
it doesn't surprise me.
It wasn't a thick magazine like usual. It was extra thin, and I was like, man, this is like one of those Kiss specials from back in the day.
Yeah, that honestly doesn't surprise me at all. I mean, we'll probably get into this a bit more later, but this seems like something that was just kind of thrown together to capitalize on the whole Rock and Roll Hall of Fame situation.
Yeah, disaster is what I like to call
it. Mm-hmm.
That's not
the best way.
The best way. We read the article, and I got in touch with you, and I said, man, we're going to have to do an hour. We're going to have to do an extra show and put it on yours, because there's too much to talk about.
Yeah, there is.
And I think that's going to be a pretty awesome thing. So I'll just go ahead and get started. First, the first part of the article, really, I felt like it was completely negative and disrespectful to the band.
I got a bit of that, too.
The way they talked about them, it just didn't come off very – of course they're not going to go despite our trying. They're right. Going – you know, they've succeeded for 40 years without us, thus making us null and void. You know, they're not going to say that. Just to show that, you know, that old song about being on the cover of Rolling Stone magazine, in this case, really didn't matter.
Not at all, to them, at least.
Yeah, and they made it without Rolling Stone, you know. Although, I have to tell you, I'm pretty sure they were on the Russian Rolling Stone magazine with the current lineup.
They were, and they were also on the Italian version back in 2008, but it was just Gene.
Just Gene.
Wow.
I don't think I ever saw that.
It was pretty cool looking. It was edited, heavily edited, but it was very demonic looking. Just a close up of the face with the tongue.
Perfect. All Gene Simmons.
Yeah.
Okay. So the article goes into, it's just like every, you know, there's a ton of what we already know. how they met. They didn't like each other, blah, blah, blah. We know all that. And if you're listening to this show, you know all that.
Exactly.
The average Kiss fan isn't listening to this show. Okay, so when it starts to get interesting to me is when Gene starts talking about how every band, every artist comes around to the way of thinking like Kiss.
Oh, here we go.
When it comes to marketing, when it comes, you know, he was like, Bob Dylan had a commercial. You know what? He's right. He's right. I used to work at a big company and everybody around me was wearing Jerry Garcia ties.
Oh, yeah. I remember those lines. Yeah, that's true.
You know, get Jerry Garcia ties. Every one of them is trying to sell merchandise and their shows are big. And what do you think about that comment?
I don't know. I have mixed feelings about that because although that may be a good point, Gene thinks that Kiss invented air and water and anything else under the sun and that it all comes back to Kiss. So I think he has a bit of a point, but I think that some of this may have gone on without Kiss. But most of it, like most of the merchandising and stuff and the stage effects, Kiss has a huge hand in that.
Right. And every band wished before that they could do what Kiss was doing. They might have said, oh, the merchandising is stupid. Oh, this is dumb or whatever. But they know they wish they could put out. Look at Metallica. Metallica put out, there were Metallica action figures. I saw them because once Kiss had the Creatures action figures, they took the same stage and made it the Kiss stage.
Yeah, tell me about it.
Except you push the button on the side and it does the lights on the Kiss one and it played music and lights. I don't remember what song it played, but I want to say it was One or something like that. So
probably
even bands that were like against the way Kiss would be, they're doing it. Whether it be selling, you know, t-shirts, hats, bumper stickers, it's all.
Even Eminem did it.
Yes, exactly.
With the action figures, yeah.
That's right. And he had the hockey mask too, didn't he?
Yeah, and the chainsaw and all that. I mean, everybody does take a page from Kiss in that area.
Yeah, and I remember reading an interview a long time ago where they said every band wants this. Every band would love the opportunity to put their picture on a lunchbox and sell it and sell a million. But nobody has ever been able to do it other than Kiss. Okay. For me, the next spot that was really interested, when they were talking about Ace and Peter putting the makeup on, I'm going to go ahead and say it, and I'm going to get hate mail for it, but I'm going to say it. Ace is in no shape to put that costume on.
No way.
He's got a belly now just like me. I'm going to start calling my belly Space Ace.
There you go. Paint him up. Like,
it's my midsection known as Ace. But he wouldn't look good. He could put the makeup on. And I remember the interview where he said, you know, if they did do that, he would have to lose some weight. But there's no time for that.
No. How long do they have now? Like 4 days?
It's the 10th, I think. Paul's book comes out in 4 days, right? Or the 7th? Or
yeah, something like that. Yeah. I haven't been keeping track that well.
Yeah, I know when it comes out, go ahead and buy it, and then I'll read it. I believe that this is going to be the most truthful out of all the books.
Well, that's definitely how it's being marketed.
It is. Paul has no qualms about saying all these guys don't remember anything.
Yeah, exactly. Even Gene, because he was so blinded by ego, but so was Paul.
Of course, but when you read the article, you realize that he, you know, he doesn't have any Kiss merchandise in his house. He doesn't,
right?
You know, he has an ego, but he doesn't need to surround himself with that stuff to make him feel better. By the way he talks to Gene sometimes, that makes me realize exactly, at least to me, how really comes off on print. He'll be like, I can see Gene's ego from my front steps, you know?
Yeah.
So, well, yeah.
Sorry. I was just going to say that the thing about Paul is that he does seem very real and truthful, but I feel like in interviews with the general press, it's just like it's like a script. It's almost like a comedian that he has an act and he just goes to certain points in his act.
Right.
For the questions, like it's just all the same thing. I mean, he just says the same thing. Like, you know, I can't think of any lines right now, but you know, we get welcome with open arms and legs and all that kind of crap.
Sure, sure, sure. That's, you know, that's his thing. It's the Paul Stanley shtick.
And the sound bites.
Yeah, sound bites. And when he goes, you know, my favorite one of all time, and maybe you have one too, but my favorite one is I think it's in Kiss Exposed where they said, what's it like with the roadies on there? He goes, it's like a buffet. It's all spread out in front of you, but you don't eat it all or something like that. And that's Paul Stanley in a nutshell. That's why he's the man to me.
Definitely. He is the man.
He is the man. Who is your favorite member of KISS?
Paul.
Paul. Man, you know, I meet so many. I think Jody is the same way. You and I are all Paul Stanley. I don't get me wrong. Ace, he's my man. I got his name tattooed on my leg. He signed my leg. I had it tattooed. It was pretty amazing. Wow. But Paul Stanley, to this day, you know, you watch him live and he's the man.
Oh, yeah. I mean, even if he has a little bit of voice issues, that doesn't stop him. He's still running around. And even my mom and dad, when they saw him, they loved the whole band, but they were extremely surprised at Paul, just the way how athletic he was running around. It was crazy.
Yeah, for like senior citizen age.
I know. Yeah. And that's also the reason why, like in the Creatures of the Net logo photo, you see me and Paul. That's why I decided to wear his makeup to that show, because, you know, he's the number one member to me, and it was an honor to have him see me in the makeup.
Yeah, that is pretty awesome. That is pretty awesome. I've never thought about doing that. Maybe I'm going to do that on the cruise. I'll be like,
yeah,
I'm
maybe
doing this because Cash's idea. I'm going to totally steal it.
And I give you full permission to. He liked it too. It'll get you some attention.
Yeah, that's awesome. Okay, the next part of the article that I really caught my attention was, of course, Peter saying that it was an injustice to the fans to have him sit aside while Eric played drums in his makeup in costume.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. I'll tell you how I feel about that. It is kind of messed up.
It is
kind of messed up. But at the same time, it's like, you didn't want to do this anymore. You know, you went about your business. You went, you know, you were in the band. They were doing the farewell tour. You wanted more money. They weren't going to give you more money. You knocked your drum set in South Carolina onto the floor. Went off. You painted tears on your face. And you didn't go to Australia. And you know what you did? You disappointed your fans. And then you did the tongue article with Gene Simmons, and he let you back in the band, and then you did it again, and then you left again, or they fired you. I'm not even sure what happened there that time. It was totally surprising, but
mutual, I think.
Yeah. But he left again. And, you know, I saw him with Tommy Thayer on that tour, and I was disappointed that Ace wasn't there, but Peter, you know, you walked, dude, you know, and it would be just like if you were doing a show and you had a number of people in it and they all just said, I don't want to do this anymore. So you have to quit.
Right. Yeah. I wouldn't do that.
I wouldn't quit. I would go, all right. Now, I can't say that I would put somebody in and, you know, and call them Nickelbag Rick, you know, in my old, my old show.
Yeah.
But, you know, so how do you feel about the Peter situation?
Well, for me, and let me just say, the reason that this issue has so much discussion and debate amongst KISS fans is that there's so many different sides that you can pick, and there's every side kind of makes sense in a way. It makes sense that Ace and Peter would be upset. It makes sense that Gene and Paul would think it's right, and it's, you know, it makes sense whatever the fans might think. You know what I mean?
Right.
And honestly, I think that if you're going to be honoring, and you as in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, is going to be honoring the original lineup specifically, and Gene and Paul are going to walk in there with Tommy Thayer and Eric Singer, who are both great musicians, by the way, and members of this band, but painted up and, you know, wearing like the little rock and roll over patches on their costumes as the characters that Peter and Ace designed, I think that is just a slap in the face to Ace and Peter, regardless of whether or not they want to be in the band and blew some opportunities. That's crazy.
And now I agree with that. But you also have to go, I also have to sit back, and now I have to go to the Paul and Gene side. The Paul and Gene side going, we've run past that now. You know, this is KISS. This is, you know, when Mark St. John was in the band, that was KISS. When Vinnie Vincent was in the band, that was KISS. You know, I think that their view, just like you said, everybody's right in this situation. It's like in their own, when they break it down to you, if Paul Stanley said, well, they're not in the band anymore and they sold us their makeup and I put these guys in the makeup and they show up to recording sessions, and they show up to practice, and, you know, I we hang out and we have a good time, and I don't ever have to worry that somebody's at a card game or drunk or you know, throwing TVs out the window. I understand that. I don't want to be in a band with people like that, or maybe I do. Ace, if you're listening, I would
call
love
him.
To call me. I would love to be in a band with you.
Yes.
He's not listening. Anyway.
No.
So once again, you know, you have it, it's just like you said, in your wise beyond your years way, everybody has, you know, a point.
Exactly. I mean, it's true. Everybody does have a point. And as I said, that's why there's so much discussion. So even though I said that would be a slap in the face to Ace and Peter, I also see how, not really a slap in the face, but how that would be weird for Gene and Paul. But you brought it back to Mark St. John, and that's a good point. But if they were honoring the version of Kiss with Vinnie Vincent and Eric Carr, I doubt they would have Mark St. John performing at the induction ceremony.
True, but you know, the problem is that Paul Stanley, he doesn't, you know, he wants everybody that's ever been in the band honored, because he feels like it, all the pieces come together to make the whole.
You know?
So, you know, you've got, you know, Tommy Thayer, who has been in the band for, you know, a bunch of years now, you know, longer than Ace, I think, was in the band.
About that, yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, and he, you know, he helped the band. He got the, you know, he did two records with the band. He, you know, that's more than Mark St. John.
Yeah, I know.
You know, so it's a really tough thing. It's going to be a war until Kiss breaks up, Kiss puts new people in Paul and Gene's makeup.
Oh, that I'll be done at that point.
I'll be done as well. I'll tell you what, I would probably still go the first time around.
Honestly, if it was, I wouldn't do that. I mean, and I know that's a little bit off topic, but people say, oh, you have a double standard. I do have a double standard, because I was born into this lineup. I didn't really have a chance to be outraged, but if something like that happened while I was I'm not a longtime fan, but I've been a fan for 5 years. That's long enough.
Yeah.
You know?
It's a third of your life.
Yeah. So if something like that were to happen, I mean, especially with Gene and Paul, who are, it's their band, I mean, I would be out at that point.
Right. Now I do know one guy who's sitting at home listening to this right now, who is going to be saying, who would say, see, I knew that everybody has a problem once you put Gene and Paul in somebody else's makeup. Everybody else is like, deal with it, you know, with Peter and Ace. But once it's Gene or Paul, they're done. They're through. And, you know, for the most part, he's right, except I would go to the first show and I would take my son and try to hook him. You know?
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I mean, it depends. I mean, the situation hasn't happened yet, but if they were coming with like a guy replacing Gene and Paul was still there, I don't know how I'd feel, but 99% I wouldn't be there.
I hear you. Okay. Pete and Ace don't deserve to wear the makeup. Says Gene Simmons.
Don't deserve to wear the makeup. Yeah, I remember reading that part, and he was saying like, the one part that really seemed ridiculous to me, and I was actually surprised to hear Gene say this, but then again, what won't he say at this point, was being there from the beginning doesn't make a difference or isn't enough.
Yeah, being there at the beginning isn't enough. Right.
That's crazy talk for me. They're founding members of this band, and if they were as important as you say that they are in saying, you know, without them we wouldn't be here, why isn't being there at the beginning enough, and why isn't designing this makeup enough for them to be able to wear it?
Right. It's true. It is enough. It is. You know.
It is.
It is. It's plenty. They were there for, you know, all the really good years.
Mm-hmm. You know. Yeah. And, the best.
You know, I have I still have my 16 magazine upstairs where it said Peter Chris leaves Kiss, and I was crushed when I read it.
Oh yeah, I bet.
And then, but you know, I also have to tell you that I don't remember. I remember. I don't know how old I was. Maybe close to 10, but I don't remember ever realizing that people could leave bands until that moment. I always just thought they were together forever.
It was kind of like, yeah, that's just the way it is now, and they don't age.
No, that's just me. Yeah, they definitely. So you know how we feel about that, Gene Simmons, you're full of crap with that one.
Seriously, that was really, I'm not going to say out of character, but that was strange for Gene to say, because it goes back to the whole thing. Who do you believe, Gene or Gene?
Yeah, and you know, and I think that, Gene, I think that he just says whatever he feels like saying today, and tomorrow he might say something different. That was where the next comment comes up. He prefers the band, the lineup now over all the lineups.
Right. Hold on one second.
Okay.
Oh. Okay, we're good. Sorry, somebody just came in here.
Okay, that's all right.
Would you be able to repeat that?
Okay, he said, Gene said that he prefers this lineup over all the lineups.
Oh, I must have misread that, because I read he prefers the original lineup. Okay. I mean, I believe that, because they get along.
Yeah, they get along. And, you know, somebody, you always hear, oh, well, you know, they're just two lap dogs. And I'm going, maybe not. Maybe they're just guys that do what they're supposed to do when they're in a rock band. Eric Singer has been in tons of great rock bands, including Alice Cooper. And, you know, they keep calling him back because when they say the studio time is 8 o'clock and we need you there to lay down your drum tracks, he's there at 7:30 and then he gets it done. Whereas Peter is putting his hand through glass or showing up drunk or, you know, is
selling coke
or selling. Yeah.
I mean, I hate to say it, but this history shows that it to be true.
Yeah. And they're, you know, dealing with those kind of people when you're not those kind of people is a huge pain in the butt.
Oh, yeah. I mean, definitely. You don't want to deal with people who are drinking and doing drugs if you're not drinking and doing drugs and you have a job to do. That's what I mean.
Right. Ace thinks they aren't playing because there would be pressure to do a new reunion.
Yeah,
say it in that many words, but, you know, he said basically
that would be expected of them.
Yeah, he basically said, you know, we got together when we played one other time in Unplugged, and we wound up doing a reunion.
Well, Ace, here's a newsflash. You didn't have – nobody made you do that.
Yeah.
It's like Bill Ward. Nobody made him do the Sabbath reunion. It's the same with Ace. He didn't have to do it. He chose, and he made a lot of money.
Oh, he made a lot of money.
Yeah, they all did.
They all did. And that's the other thing. I have to tell you that, you know, I don't think there would be any pressure on Paul or Gene for doing – another reunion. I think they would, if it were possible, I think they would walk on stage. They could play a whole set and then at the end go, okay, bye guys. Have a nice day. We're going to go out with Tommy and Eric.
Right. And I think Peter and Ace would be fine with that, with all the talk they've done about not wanting to be a part of the band anymore. And honestly, I don't think Gene and Paul want anything to do with Ace at this point. So why would they do a reunion?
Right. Right. You know, they were going to get on stage and play with Ace and Peter, but the problem was mostly that Eric and Tommy were going to be in their makeup, and they didn't want to do that. And I'd be just like, so what? I'd be just so happy that, you know, somebody's finally paying attention to me. Ace Anomaly was a great album. Peter has done very, very, very little. You know, the fact that you'd be in the public's eye for one more night, just go do it. Good God, quit complaining. It's like, you know, and God, every time I say stuff like that, I wind up getting hate mail. People, they call me all kinds of names. Do you get that stuff?
Actually, I don't really get that, but even if I did, it wouldn't matter, because we're just saying our opinions on here, and if you don't like it, you don't have to like it. We're just, everybody's entitled to their own opinion.
No, I'm going to write you a hate letter now, just so I could be your first.
I want to know how it feels. No, I've got quite a few, but I don't really get them anymore. I don't know.
It's usually it's F New Kiss, you know?
Yeah. Well, I've gotten, like, I don't know why you're bashing Tommy. I get a lot of Tommy bashing, but usually that goes, like, I really love Tommy, he's a great musician, but, and then they call that Tommy bashing. So.
Yeah. All right, let's see. What else do we have here? Blah, blah, blah.
Quite
blah.
A few things.
Yeah. You know, do you have anything you want to talk about real quick?
I want to talk a little bit about we talked in the beginning about how they're kind of like sliding Kiss throughout the article.
Right.
I just want to say that's so annoying, because every Kiss documentary I watch, whenever they're mentioned in anything or any article, I want to read about the band Kiss. I'm not trying to read about tongue wagging, which is all a part of it, but
right. Blood spitting.
Yeah, exactly. I want the music to be the main part. Not their gimmick shot them through fame in the 70s. It's just, it's so annoying, and they get so much crap for it. I honestly, it just makes me wish it never happened, even though I love it.
Well, that brings up my next point. It's very interesting. And Rolling Stone said that Paul and Gene were outmaneuvered on this one. Very, like, apparently the way they put it was they were so rarely outmaneuvered in things that they do, which makes me sit there and say, you see, it was like a political thing. The Rolling Stone magazine got together and said, how can we defeat these guys and their fans? And then they went online and they read about how much people hate Tommy and Eric, or, you know, a group of them do, and how much Paul and Gene love them. And then they looked at him and said, we're not letting them in.
We've got an article.
Yeah. And then, you know, to say they were outmaneuvered really makes it seem like they're showing their hand. They're showing their card, and they're saying, here's our cards. Look at right here. We did this on purpose.
Well, it's really confusing for everybody. I don't think it's just Gene and Paul. I think it's the Hall of Fame, and it's Ace and Peter. It's everybody, because it's just such a confusing situation. And the fans, too.
Right. I'm torn on whether or not to buy the magazine, because I don't want to give them my money. But at the same time...
Well, they come across as very smug.
Yeah. At the same time, I have a space on my book rack for it.
I'm definitely going to buy it. It's a Kiss Rolling Stone.
Yeah, never get one. Okay, yeah. Let's see. What's next? Okay, they said no matter what you think, Gene is the talking man, but Paul pulls all the strings.
That's so true.
It is true.
I mean, I've read threads lately that have talked about this on the Kiss message boards, and it's true. I mean, Gene Simmons is he's like Kiss's PR guy, but he just happens to play the bass
he's
in
the
band.
He's the face of the band.
Yeah, exactly. And the voice of the band. And I mean, Paul's just kind of Paul is he's very subtle about a lot of things. One of them is his ego, and the other one is about how much he really does control in the band.
Right. Now, I can tell you, I don't want to say who, but I talked to somebody that's close to Paul a while back, and they did tell me that Paul runs everything.
Oh, yeah.
That's basically what, and it was such a good, like, you know, person to tell me that, I've believed it ever since. There was no, and I mean, like, from Kiss Online to everything. It doesn't happen without Paul saying so.
Yeah, I mean, Keith LaRue told me that, and this isn't a bad thing. I'm not trying to name drop.
Yeah.
But he told me that Gene and Paul look at every single article that goes on Kiss Online. No matter what it is, they have to see every single thing. Wow. So, you know, Paul definitely runs the show. I mean, especially with the recording. I have a feeling it may have been discussed trying to get an outside producer. He's like, nope, I'm doing this, and it's up to me.
Yeah, that probably makes a lot of sense.
You know,
but at the same time, if you want something done right, you do it yourself. And if it's, you know, and Paul's probably the type of guy where he goes, if it fails, it's on me. If it works, it's on me.
The issue with that is that you have to know how to do it right. And that's not a slight to Paul, but the sound on Monster and Sonic Boom wasn't the best.
To me, it was thin.
Yeah, on some of the tracks, it was too thick for me. It was just too much. It was too overproduced on tracks like Freak. It was just, they need some help in there.
Okay. He's talking about Paul being the person that pulls the strings, and he said these words, trust me. And I laughed when I read it, because out of the whole band, and I love Peter, he was like, when I went out for the solo albums, I bought his first. And I actually think that his solo album is good. I don't look at them I don't look at them as Kiss albums. I look at them as Peter's solo album. He had the chance to put what he wanted on it, and that's what he did. Just like Ace and Gene, who is like so bizarre. And, you know, I like Peter's, you know, music. I always thought it was fun, and, you know, the love songs are the love songs, and the pop songs are, you know, the R&B. It's R&B driven, and I really, I really enjoy that. But I do not trust you, Peter Chris.
No. No way.
You know, if you are willing to walk out on the band and the fans in the middle of a show, or you're, you know, willing to, in the middle of a show, slow down your drumming.
Yeah.
So the band looks bad. You are untrustworthy.
Oh, tell me about it. Yeah. I feel the exact same way. And to touch on what you said about the solo albums, nobody tell me that those are Kiss albums, please. Because if those are Kiss albums, then so is... I mean, I can't even compare it. They are not Kiss albums. They have the word Kiss on them in the pictures, because in 78, that's pretty much all they had for the branding. If they were going to put a picture of them without makeup, you know what I mean? It wouldn't work.
Right.
So there's a little tangent about that. I get fired up about that. People are always like, those are Kiss albums because they have the name Kiss on it.
No way. No. Let's see. What else? I mean, I know we're running through this really fast for you out there listening. Still go get the article. Trust me when I tell you.
Oh, yeah.
You know, we're not going to touch on every last thing. Only the things that really, you know, that we thought, hey, we really need to talk about this. Let's see here. I have so many notes. I messaged you so quickly. I was like a page into it, and I went, this is going to have to be a long show.
Yeah. I got something to bring up, actually.
Okay, go ahead.
Why in the world is Billy Ray Cyrus in this article?
Well, they didn't explain why, but he was there for business.
Okay, so he just shows up. That's weird. I'm looking at that part right now. That's kind of weird.
Yeah, he's there for business, I'm sure. And if you notice in the article, he actually immediately fanboys out. He's like, I waited in line in Virginia for you. I wanted to see you, man. Oh, it was a great concert. I love
That's
you.
Funny.
And then he starts talking about the same thing Gene and Paul always stick with. And he says, you know, Billy Ray Cyrus, it says in the article that he starts talking about how, you know, the cards were stacked against him and he got into alcohol or drugs. I'm not really sure which. And then Gene goes, whoa, whoa, whoa. They were stacked against me too and I didn't do that.
Sorry, who was the one that got into that?
Billy Ray Cyrus talked about it, about how he, you know, fell victim of, you know, of the bad things of fame.
And, right, okay.
And, or because of how his life was. And Gene stopped him and was like, so how's this not your responsibility? How's this not your fault? You know what I mean?
Yeah, you okay, know? Sorry, just cut out a bit.
Oh, that's all right. And then he starts talking about, you know, I was raised, you know, I didn't know how to speak English when I came to this country. And I, you know, and here I am. And I didn't have to do drugs and alcohol. So basically what he was saying, you know, was the same thing Paul and Gene always say. And that is, you're responsible for everything that happens to you. So when Peter writes a book and says, woe is me, look how they picked on me. Paul and Gene go,
it's their fault.
You did it to yourself. What are you talking about? I don't think for one second, no matter what other people say, that Paul and Gene would have ever wanted them out of the band if they would have just acted like human beings.
Why would they? They're great musicians.
Yeah. And they were making millions with them.
Oh, yeah.
Millions of dollars with them. They did not need to bring in Eric Carr. They did not want to bring in Eric Carr until it got to the point where it was just ridiculous. I do, you know, and, you know, I may be wrong. I mean, but that whole, I've heard people say, oh, this was the plan from the beginning. No, it wasn't.
No way.
No, it wasn't. It wasn't the plan from the beginning. But that's the Billy Ray Cyrus thing. I thought it was really weird, too. But
yeah.
It was so funny how, you know, he fanboyed out. He just started talking to him about waiting, you know, in line to see him in concert and how much he loves them and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, wow, that's really funny. I wonder if he's sitting at home going, oh, I sound like a kid.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, and that was right. Huntington, West Virginia, he waited in line.
Yeah, funny. Billy Ray in line. All right, let's see.
Doesn't surprise me, really.
All right, guys, that was part one of the two-part series, Rolling Stone Magazine's article and cover of Kiss. I hope you enjoyed that. Head on over to creaturesofthenet.com. Cassius, he's got part two for you. Listen up. Pay attention. Send us messages. Send us comments. We love that kind of stuff. I'm headed to WrestleMania. I'm going to do my best to have a good time. And if you're there, message me on my Facebook and let me know that you're going to be there. And I'll see. Maybe we can meet up and have a drink or something. That would be if you're of age, of course. You guys have a good week. We'll see you next week. Peace.